This Sunday is Mother's Day. So we're turning our attention to a Grand Rapids entrepreneur who says that his business would not be what it is without his mom. But this isn't your typical mom and pop shop.
I've heard stories that there's perhaps other family-run cannabis businesses, but I think it is kind of unique and a little rare to have an owner of the business be there alongside their mother and father.
So maybe this year, get your mom some roses, a sweet card, and some gummies? This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Casey Cornoli is the owner of Farmhouse Wellness. That's Farmhouse with a PH. It's a medical and recreational marijuana dispensary in Grand Rapids. And his mom, Patty, is involved in the business. She works as a delivery driver. Maybe cannabis isn't for you, but for the Cornolis, it's brought them together. Today, we're talking to both Casey and Patty about running a business during a pandemic, cannabis stigma, and the social equity program that's made it possible for Casey to even open up shop. Casey, Patty, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you very much.
So Farmhouse started out with sales and opened up shop in March of 2020. That was a major month in Michigan. Casey, what was it like starting your business right at the beginning of the pandemic?
It was a challenge. It was a long process to open the provisioning center in Grand Rapids to begin with. And then when we finally did get it open, we absolutely did not anticipate, much like a lot of people probably did not anticipate, the airborne pandemic that would follow through COVID-19. So we were actually open for just a short period of time before the governor enacted or government mandated state lockdown. And that really just changed our business forever and even up until this day. So it was and has been a lot of change since we've opened up, but also a very rewarding process too.
Yeah. Patty, the thing that my husband and I always say when this subject comes up, that if we ever had to work together, we'd kill each other. And you work with both your husband and your son. Had you had any professional experiences that prepared you for this?
Absolutely not. I used to work in surgery. I was a scrub nurse. And if anything, that taught me to be anticipate and be prepared and over-prepared. But no, this is a totally different industry from that.
Yeah. If people are wondering about the birds, we should acknowledge that you two are coming to us from home, as many of our guests do. Casey, I read that you came from a background in corporate banking.
Well, they shall remain nameless, but it is true, and I am thankful for that experience. It is part of my past. It's something that I'll never forget, but I do feel like it's something. It's an experience that shaped who I am today, and again, I'm thankful for what I learned in corporate banking. But I feel that it wasn't a full demonstration of who I am as a person. And so being in the cannabis industry is just a better match. It's a better alignment with who I am, my characteristics and my traits and my goals in life. So,
yeah. I believe you also had worked as a caregiver at one point.
Absolutely. I've always been drawn to the cannabis plant. It's something that I was involved in from early adolescence. And then in 2008, they opened the medical marijuana program, which allowed me to be a patient and then also a caregiver. And I've worked with terminally ill cancer patients, rheumatoid arthritis patients. My wife and her extended family has severe and chronic Crohn's disease. And so these are all illnesses that I've seen cannabis directly touch and benefit in a very positive way. So it made me a believer firsthand many years ago. And I just took that and I always held on to that. And it's something that I truly, at the end of the day, I believe in it. You know, I believe that it has a lot of value and a lot of benefits. So absolutely, I was thankful to participate as a caregiver for approximately 10 years before opening the retail storefront there.
Yeah. Patty, this isn't true across the board, but sometimes you run into a generational divide about how people feel about cannabis. There are younger members of my family, I know, that just sort of they've grown up with the idea that it was gradually becoming legalized, and they don't tend to get hung up about it. But older members of my family, it's just not something that they would necessarily think of trying. Have you had conversations with people your own age about, you know, where this the evolution of cannabis as something that's increasingly a part of our lives?
That's a big subject, and there is a big divide. Generationally, I grew up not thinking about it the way my son thinks about it. And I have come around to embrace it more. But I have tried having those conversations with family members that are my generation and older. And that divide is very much there still, to the point where sometimes it's hard to try to win somebody over to your way of thinking, that sometimes you just have to accept those divisions and those differences.
Would you say that you've seen changes in Casey over the time that he's been involved with the business? And like he had this background in corporate banking and then, you know, started this business himself. Have you observed anything of that's changed in him in this period?
I think that Casey has always had I'm biased, I'm his mom, but I believe that he's always had a sweet nature about him ever since he was a child. And I don't want to downplay his experience in corporate America, but I saw him go through a lot of stress and he went through a lot of growth. There was a lot of good things that were happening, but I also saw how terribly unhappy he was in that arena. And being in the arena that he's in now, it's like, to me, it's like watching a bird take flight, you know, spreading their wings and, you know, just really enjoying life and what life has to offer and the growth potential that he has. It's neat to watch that.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Casey and Patty Cornoli. Stay with us.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Patty, was there anything in particular that kind of brought you around on this as a possibility for Casey in terms of professional stuff, but also something that you would want to get on board with?
Well, I have to say that in the beginning, I was quite under duress when he was 14 and 15. I was very protective and worried about the direction that he seemed to be enthralled in. And it's taken me a while. It really has taken me a while. I mean, he had to get an education. He had to go corporate. He had to work all that that whole experience for me to say, okay, you earned your stripes and you are accepted in society. And then he wants to do this. And what was it that turned me around? And I feel a little bit emotional about it, so forgive me. When you have a patient that is a caregiver, you know, Casey's a caregiver to that patient, and that patient is struggling with stage 4 cancer, And they have gone through all the medical routes that they are advised to go through. And they seek the professionals that they're supposed to seek. And they end up being having addictions to opioids or whatever, and then being cut off from that source of help to manage pain, to manage, you know, all the things that a person goes through when it comes to cancer. I was just appalled to hear that story. And then they're being left to find routes for their own care. And they then seek medical marijuana. And it's not just an experience like that. It's like people that come curbside at the dispensary. I mean, I had one lady that came. She had like an $800 order. And I was like, wow, this is just that's a lot of pot. But what she was saying is, you guys are our pharmacy. I have a child that's epileptic, and this is helping her epilepsy. And she's struggling with sleep. And it, you know, so when you experience those kinds of experiences, it's just like, who am I to judge? Who am I to say, no, that's not okay for you? It has completely changed my whole attitude.
Yeah. Casey, your mom, being your mom, is being a bit circumspect about some of your past with cannabis. You've shared with us that you were caught up with the law a few times. Could you tell us a little bit about how that happened and maybe how those things affected the path of your career?
It's been just a long and windy journey for me, starting from my early adolescence when I was initially drawn to the cannabis plant. And these were times where cannabis was still heavily under prohibition and over policing. And unfortunately, you could say I was maybe just a little bit ahead of the curve, or I guess if you look at it like that, that's a positive thing. But I was just maybe a little bit ahead of the time on the laws. And yes, I did have some run-ins with law enforcement, multiple encounters where I was arrested and charged. And I do have cannabis convictions on my record. And unfortunately, those things stay with me today. But it is part of who I am. It's part of my journey. It did influence the route that I went after high school. You know, I had attempted to get into the armed services and was declined. I did end up getting into college and finishing a college degree. But I had after that had gone through what I felt was a pretty decent amount of labor market discrimination, labor market employment counseling, and then ultimately the process of applying with the state of Michigan and the city of Grand Rapids to become a cannabis operator was also impacted by that history that I had with the plant. So it was, at the time, something when I was crying in my milk, nothing that I would think would ever good become of it. But now it's strange to see that this, in a roundabout way, has actually allowed Farmhouse Wellness and myself to be the only social equity applicant in the city of Grand Rapids. And it hinges on some of that history. You know, do you have cannabis related convictions on your record? And were you overly affected by the war on drugs? And I was one of those people.
Could you talk a little bit more about the social equity program process and what it's meant for you and the business?
Absolutely. The social equity program is, I think at its roots, is designed to encourage and participate people in the cannabis industry who otherwise wouldn't have had so much of an opportunity to enter that marketplace. So when the state came and they said, here is what constitutes a social equity applicant, I was absolutely enthralled. I jumped for joy the retail showroom floor when I saw what allowed us to qualify for that designation. And the benefit of it is that the state and the city of Grand Rapids do give us certain financial breaks. As you know, that there's a lot of regulation and taxes and fees to being a cannabis operator. So the state said, okay, we get it. You're a smaller operator. We're going to give you some breaks and try to help you on your way. So that's very helpful. But for me, I felt a strong calling to give that money back and to reinvest that money into the community that has supported us, being the lower west side of Grand Rapids and the West Wealthy Corridor, the John Ball area neighborhood, and the city of Grand Rapids. So we have a pretty robust social equity plan, little baby steps that we're making, but we're so, so thankful and proud to be the only social equity applicant in the city of Grand Rapids. And we feel, you know, a strong calling to give that money back and to reinvest it for the greater benefit of the community. So, and really looking forward to that program in the future.
Patty, with all of this in mind, the fact that Casey would have a chance to open a cannabis business, what would you say that's meant, that what you've seen that's mean to him, and also what it's meant to you to see him find this place in his life?
I feel for the most part, I've been always very proud of Casey and his drive and his interest. But when he came to me, or when he was talking with us as a family about the potential of pursuing this, I thought, well, you know, that's something that you know a lot about. And that pretty much was all that there was in the beginning, is that's an interest and that's a possibility. But to see it come to fruition, I personally don't feel like we can take all that credit. I do believe that some things are just divine. The doors open for a reason. And I feel like in this case, the doors opened for Casey to pursue this business. And it's just been really neat watching him go through the struggles, the changes, the growth, the experience. And it's just neat watching him mature and move forward in an area that he's so excited about.
My guests today have been Patty Cornoli and her son Casey Cornoli. They are part of the family ownership team in Farmhouse Wellness, a cannabis business in Grand Rapids, coming to us from Patty's home, as you can hear. Patty, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
And Casey, thank you also. We really appreciate you telling us a little bit more about the business.
Thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate the interest in our story.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes for listening at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. Happy Mother's Day, with a big extra shout out for all the nurturing humans out there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.